92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller and his son, four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller. Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Art Sport Experts, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another fun day here on the show. We went straight phone calls like the whole way yesterday, which is great. Obviously, Monday, people have a lot to say. And we broke down the Alabama-Vanderbilt victory 30-14. I didn't mess that score up this time. But that was fun. But again, today is a Talking Tuesday, so we do anticipate talking to you guys again, but knowing how it's been, normally we talk to you more on Monday than Tuesday. It's like flip, but just know we do dedicate Tuesdays to trying to communicate with you guys as much as possible. So if you guys want to jump in on the conversation, 205-342-9904 is that number if you guys want to call in. Today we might, I guess, put a bow a little bit on that Vanderbilt game. I feel like we pretty much got everything out of the way in terms of our breakdown with the film. Because we were taking so many calls, we didn't quite get to finish that part. Really, we're just going to the tape during the breaks. And there might be a couple plays from the second half that we might go back to. But in reality, I think we're probably good on that, unless you guys want to continue talking about that. But I do know we got to hit our early preview on Missouri again. Alabama will face another SEC road test as they will travel to Columbia. Not my Columbia, where I'm born and raised, but Columbia, Missouri, where they will face a talented Missouri team. Hadn't really played too many people just yet. I think they're like the 109th, I guess, strength of schedule compared to our number three. But they do have some things that you definitely got to respect, most notably for me, right, at least being a defensive guy, Ahmad Hardy, their running back in their running game. Really, I mean, they are doing a phenomenal job with that, which we know has caused us some issues on defense. The good news is last three quarters of football we played, we only allowed 22 rushing yards against a Vanderbilt team that likes to run the football. And many even say that this Missouri team resembles that Vanderbilt team, not exactly in terms of what they do in the scheme of things, but just kind of their philosophies and how they play. Many would say they are very similar. So if that's the case, I guess you could feel pretty confident going into this game as an Alabama fan. That being said, we will dive into that here in a little bit. But first, let me tell you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Again, premium arch support is designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether that's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. And plus, even more cool, which that's already cool enough, but they're even giving you guys the opportunity to win some cash with their Good Feet Kicks for Cash. So make sure you guys check out that website, goodfeetkickforcash.com, where you can sign up and enter for a chance to kick a field goal, get your Will Reichert on, and maybe win some cash. I think it's like 500, 1,000. If you make the 20-yard one, it's 500. 30-yard one, it goes to 1,000. And you still get the chance to just win something at least, even if you don't make the kick. So make sure you guys sign up. It's free. And that is the website, goodfeetkicksforcash.com. And you can get signed up. I think you just put in your email and some information, and that's it. But I definitely do that if you guys haven't already. And that will be a home game. So not this weekend, but they will have the next opportunity to do that when we come back and face the Volunteers, if I'm not mistaken, third Saturday in October. Which leads me, let me go ahead and tell you guys about this while we mention that. R&R Cigars has those custom cigars, right? Again, use that code Miller's Edge. There's no D, just Miller's Edge. They'll get you 20% off, free shipping. But they've got those custom, you know, victory game cigars, a Tennessee Week, and it's got the custom box that says that on there. They've got the custom cigars with the football on them. So make sure you guys get them because they're going like hotcakes, man. Everybody wants them, especially for this game. And so make sure you guys get your orders in now. As you guys can see right there, code Miller's Edge, 20% off right there on the stream. Again, for those custom cigars, which look like that in that picture, but even in the box, they even mentioned the Tennessee game or the victory game, I believe it reads. But definitely check that out if you haven't. And check out R&R Cigars if you have it. 2703 Gary Fitz Street, if you're looking for a place have a nice smoke, nice drink, over 160 bourbons right there. They put on the UFC fights. They played it last weekend. It's always a great place to go watch any sport and event and just fellowship, hang out, and have a good time right there at R Cigars, the mansion right here in Tuscaloosa. That being said, a couple other things that we probably dive into here today, just because I've been listening and reading some stuff. I was listening to ESPN, Chase, and get this, man. Stephen A., he's normally a big Alabama guy. You know, I feel like he's always riding with Alabama, he, at least the last several years. Maybe it was more of a Nick Saban thing. He definitely did give Kalen DeBoer his props, but he had some interesting comments regarding Alabama. Him and Paul Feinbaum were together, and they were discussing a number of teams, but Alabama came up, talked about the impressive win over Vanderbilt. But what was interesting was Paul Feinbaum. It's almost like they switched roles, right? Because Paul Feinbaum, who normally has a lot to say about Alabama, not always positive. Well, Paul Feinbaum, he said that he felt that Alabama is a national title contender and can definitely win it all. But to my surprise, it was Stephen A. who kind of responded, and he was refuting it, Chase. And he actually said that he feels like Alabama will drop two of the next four SEC games that we have. Now, remember, you got, let me make sure I get this right off the top of my head. You got Missouri, Tennessee, and then is it South Carolina, and then maybe Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken. I could be getting one of those wrong. But anyway, you got a stretch coming up. And he feels like we dropped two of those games. So I just wanted to throw that out there to get y'all's thoughts. Obviously, I know all our Alabama fans, they're definitely not going to agree with that. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, if he feels you dropped two of those, what two games do you feel like would be the biggest challenges for us out of that stretch, right? I guess this is maybe the question I'll ask. I know you guys think we're going 4-0, and I respect it for sure. But definitely will be a challenge. But anyway, I heard that, and I was like, damn, that's interesting, man. So you got Paul Feinbaum. Now he's on our side, which I think a lot of people are starting to look at the landscape of college football and see how we're playing and realize, yeah, Alabama, week one was a fluke. Even Paul Feinbaum said he had no words to really describe what happened week one. But the way we're playing football right now, man, you definitely are setting yourself up. However, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I do feel like we, without a doubt, make a postseason run. Now, to be determined how we look when we match up with some of these other teams, because, I mean, Stephen A.'s point was we did it against Georgia, but he technically didn't feel that Georgia's one of those top dogs. So how would Alabama look when they match up against the likes of Ohio State, Oregon, you know what I mean? One of these teams that look a little bit, I guess, a step above maybe a Georgia, which obviously has been our toughest opponent yet. So I don't know, just something to think about and marinate on while we get ready to get things rolling here on the show. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything else other than a couple other things that we didn't hit yesterday. That's what it was. We've got to dive back into the press conferences. We didn't get to that yesterday. So we will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer. We'll do that probably when we come back from this timeout to go ahead and get that through. That way we can respond to it and play catch up a little bit while people start rolling in here anyway. So we'll hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer when we come back. We also had the coordinators, but we'll kind of play it by ear, right? If we have time, we got some extra time to dive into some stuff. We'll probably hear from Ryan Grubb, or at least dive into a couple of his comments and break those down. Same thing with Kane Womack, just to get their thoughts respectively on this upcoming matchup against Missouri as well. Then obviously we're going to talk with you guys again because it is a Talking Tuesday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch sport experts. Quick timeout. Don't go.
Is it up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, speaking of talking, it's time to hear Coach Kalen DeBoer do some talking. This is his press conference from yesterday that we missed, so let's go ahead and catch back up and hear what he had to see. I'm all over the place this morning, guys. I'm sorry. Hear what he had to say leading into this Missouri week.
Just proud of the team and the competitiveness we showed on Saturday. Definitely did not start fast and up to our liking there, but we never really flinched. And I think just the spirit of our guys on the sideline, what the energy was there and also in the locker room at halftime, just really showed that our guys are understanding the fight that it takes each and every week in an SEC game for four quarters to get a win. And so got a couple takeaways that were key, time of possession, something that certainly was a positive for Vanderbilt and will be again this week against Missouri, something that we took advantage of. Thought there was, again, some things that we did better, but some things that we definitely got to improve on. And, you know, it's a hard reset this week going into Missouri. I think our guys, you know, understood that on Sunday, just making that and flipping the switch to where we got to move forward. We got a very good football team coming off a bye week. We got to play a 11 o'clock kickoff and on the road. So we just got to be ready to get ready to roll tomorrow. Have a great week of practice. And the guys, I think, are, you know, now into that just, rinse and repeat kind of mode, you know, each and every week, understanding the process. And we got to continue to get better at the process because, again, those things that happen early in the game or our lack of execution early in the game, you know, that happened for a reason. You know, some of it's your opponent, but some of it's just we got to do our job better. And so that's going to be the challenge going ahead here. And, you know, again, Missouri posed a lot of problems for you, just what they do physically, running the football. I mean, they're dominant against the run. They're dominant. Time possession, put a lot of points on the board and hold teams down, you know, with the limited possessions you're probably going to get. So Coach Drinkwitz has done a great job building that program up, been super consistent here with the wins, but also just consistent each and every week with what you're going to get. And, you know, we're going to be looking forward to a great challenge on Saturday.
Thanks, Coach. Let's start with Nick on the far right.
Yeah, Ty was using words like unacceptable and ridiculous to talk about things that he did in the game. How have you seen him battle complacency?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a reason to be complacent yet because we've been, you know, still early in the season. And, you know, just that's the way we talk in the program, you know, just with it ain't good enough. Like there's so much area and you're working on things and you want to acknowledge improvement and you want to acknowledge the ways that we fight. But, you know, from an execution standpoint, there was a lot of stuff that we can do better. And I think Ty recognized that. He felt that. You can, you know, we're addressing it on the sideline. He can feel it. He knows what it's supposed to look like. And, you know, he understands. And, you know, he's past the point now where he's got to try to prove to people that he can do it. He's done it at a high level. So now it's about, you know, his leadership with our team and, you know, helping us be the best version that we can each and every week as we improve.
Go to Katie on the left side.
You're in the middle of a four-game stretch against ranked teams, and I think six of the next seven overall. You talked about Missouri's coming off a bye, so are some of the other teams. Just have you ever been part of a stretch like this before, and kind of how do you have to approach this with your team?
Yeah, I think there's always been times where you look at a month and you're like, you know, back in whatever month in the spring the schedule comes out, and you're like, okay, that's going to be a grind, but you don't even look at it that way. You look at one game and you focus on that one game. And that's what we did against Georgia. And that's what we did against Vanderbilt. And now that's what we got to do against Missouri. You focus on only that game. And when you do it, all of a sudden you find yourself going through the month and you're like, okay, like we've gotten better and okay, we got the win. And, you know, again, just focusing on the process, focusing on what it has to look like as we refine everything we're doing. You know, just competing at the highest level. When you just focus on those things that you can control, the schedule, you know, you work through it one by one, and you know, you end up usually, if you got the talent, you got the people, and you catch a break here and there, you end up on the right side of it.
Go to Charlie on the right side.
Yeah, Coach Grubb actually said that the red zone execution was poor on Saturday. What did you just see in that area of the field?
I mean, it's different things, right? It's you know, we talk about, you know, tie and a lot of attention always goes to the quarterback, and he even acknowledged, you know, there's things he knows he can do better there. So it's just, to me, it's just execution as a whole. It's understanding the situation you're in. What's going to hurt us is going to be negative plays. Being behind the chains, just you know, is emphasized even more as you move closer to the red zone and in the red zone. And so it's going to hurt you out in the middle of the field when you're behind the chains. But as that space continues to shrink, and, you know, the defense is going to throw some more things at you because they're, you know, a little more desperate too, and have their way of going about things. You got to execute. You got to adjust as you move the ball into that area. You know, we got caught behind the chains. We ended up with some plays that weren't executed and didn't get the yards we need to put ourselves in good, favorable down and distances.
Go to Chase on the far left.
Coach Grubb mentioned that Jaden Roberts will probably see some action this week. He didn't against Vanderbilt. Just to be clear, was he dinged up, or is it more a situation where y'all are trying to get looks from other guys? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it's competitive right now at those positions. It's more than just his. And guys are competing in practice, you know, and that's, to me, a big part, you know, of what you got to do. And the comeback for him has been progressing. And I think that's why you probably feel the vibe from Coach Grubb and the words he said, but he's got to just keep doing it. And that's what we ask of every guy, you know, some of these guys have gotten chances to get on the football field and taken advantage of it. And that's made it harder for others who maybe have had roles that were assumed. It's competitive. And, you know, Jaden, love Jaden. You know, what a great, great kid, and got a lot of potential. And so just he's going to keep working.
Got a couple more questions on the left side of the room here. Let's start with Colin and go to Emily Grace.
Hey, Kalen. How would you assess Connor Talty's performance, I guess, over the first 5 weeks, but specifically against Vanderbilt?
Yeah, disappointed in that first kick. But, really, you think about putting yourself in his shoes, and you missed that first one. And I think the next one was a tie game and a pretty important kick when he had to go back out there. And for him to respond, eliminate any thoughts that might be in your head and move forward, and then make another one and make the three that were important in the score being what it was. Even the one with the angle, you know, you can overthink that too. And at the end of the game, to make it a 9-point game, that's an important kick and an important time. And, you know, it's not just him, too. It's everyone else working in unison with the snap and the hold. Thought he responded well. There's nothing you can do about it when you do miss that one. Yeah, we want those points. But I thought his response was really good.
Coach, the connection between Ty and the wide receiver room seems to be really strong. What is that dynamic like from your perspective at practice and off the field?
Yeah, I think they feel it. They feel what they're capable of. And so they continue to, I think, you know, do a better job of understanding what the calls are, what Coach Grubb's looking for, what the staff's looking for, why we're running these plays, what the problems are that we can pose for the opponent when we execute. And then it's being at the right place at the right time, you know, and then the ball placement will be there, and that leads to yards after catch, and so they're feeling that, and they know we'll go to them when they execute. So work on practice, talk it through, make sure if there's something that didn't feel right in practice or in the game or something different than what the look is that we did see throughout the week, they're all over it. You know, they're proactive. And, I think that's what great teams do. And, you know, that unit working together, it's been fun seeing their growth.
Jamie.
Hey, Coach, coming off momentum from back-to-back emotional wins over Georgia and Vandy, how do you guard against the trap game mentality this week, and what reminders do you lean on to keep your guys sharp and focused?
Yeah, they're 5-0. They're a ranked team, and so, you know, I think the whole thing isn't like it's not a surprise that we're facing this team that we're, you know, that's going to be at a high level on the road. And so it's taken all of our experiences that we've been through and applying it, knowing that going on the road is hard in the SEC, knowing that any game in the SEC is hard, and then taking our lessons learned, or experiences, what I like to refer to them, and just understanding how we've become successful and how we've had improvement here. It just goes back to shutting up and doing the work, you know, showing up and doing the work, doing those things each and every day that lead to a feeling of confidence that allows you to go out on the field on Saturdays and be successful and play the best version of yourselves. And you know, there's, you've heard it from us. I mean, there's so many things that we fell short on that, you know, really foundationally go back to the preparation or lack of that we didn't have. And it might just be one play. It might be one person in that one play. So it's not the whole unit or a whole mindset where guys are overlooking. It's just one guy's got to do his job better. And all of a sudden, you know, that's going to eliminate an explosive run. And so, one guy doing a better job in pass protection, and all of a sudden now we're converting a third down where a guy was wide open that we could have, had an explosive play, maybe even a touchdown on in the first quarter. So just got to keep the pedal down. That's what our guys have done a great job of. They haven't listened to what's outside. You can't help but know that it's out there or hear it even a little bit. Whether it was the negative talk or the pats on the back, it means nothing. Our guys got to keep moving forward. They got a long ways. I mean, I think we can see what the ceiling is, and it's much higher than what we performed even on Saturday. And that's what they got to be excited about, that they haven't reached that. And that's what's got to be the challenge moving forward.
Coach, what have you seen from William Sanders over the last couple of weeks to let him earn some playing time at left guard? And when you have Wilkin at right guard and William and Kevin Riley in the backfield, you've got three players from right here in the area on the offense. What does that mean to you? And maybe do they add anything being local?
Yeah, I think from a local standpoint, that's pretty cool that those guys are contributing at the level they are and continue to get better, because that's certainly the case with all of them. They are continuing to get better, and that leads to, you know, just Sanders and what he's been doing and why he's getting his opportunity. He didn't go like, woe is me, when he wasn't getting those reps early in the season. He just continued to grind. He continued to show up. And just like our team and what I'm asking of them, he's done that, taking it personally. And the guys that do that, they're going to keep getting better. You know, you're in this program for a reason. We're counting on you. We're counting on you to get better. We're counting on you to help make our team what it can be. And he's done that. And so that's why he's, you know, gained a few reps in games that you've seen here over the last couple of weeks.
All right. So that was head coach Kalen DeBoer addressing the media yesterday at his weekly press conference that we needed to catch up on. But obviously a lot that he said that we'll talk about after we come back from this quick timeout. Plus, we'll go ahead and start doing a quick early preview on Missouri. I definitely have a number of thoughts on them. I've been watching them. Matter of fact, while he was speaking, I went back and watched some more highlights from another game. It was them versus UMass. I believe their last game maybe before, maybe not. I don't know. But it was one of their more recent games. Obviously, UMass, not a very good football team. I went through when they played them, but just trying to get an idea and kind of, you know, what these guys like to do. And anyway, I'll comment on that when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll be right back. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Done. That's the power of a Dell PC with Intel Inside, backed by Dell's Price Match Guarantee. Get yours today at Dell.com/deals. Terms and conditions apply. See Dell.com for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
Full treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
It is Talking Tuesday. It is from the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts, where we just heard from head coach Kalen DeBoer addressing the media they didn't have practice yesterday. They're off on Mondays, but he addressed the media yesterday, as he always does on Mondays. And I was about to say, Chase, is there anything that you wanted to hit on from what coach had to say before we jump into a little bit of this Missouri preview? Anything stand out to you?
Yeah, I think when he got asked about the trap game, I think that was very interesting to me, because it's so easy for a team like Alabama to be high, especially I didn't know this, that they didn't, what was it you said, they didn't allow like 20 yards rushing in the second half? That is insane.
Three quarters, it was 22 yards total, I believe, on the ground.
I think that mentality for Alabama is huge, especially with the tough schedule they have coming up, because Alabama's season is turning around before our eyes, guys. I think it's something that is starting to unpack, and I think this is what Alabama fans wanted all along, just to show up and show why Alabama football is the standard and still is the standard. You know, and I think Kalen DeBoer's understanding that taking care of the little things that you saw against Vanderbilt, not going back and forth with Pavia and Manziel, and keeping the main thing is really the best thing, because we saw that with Thomas Castellanos, you know, back and forth, and it cost us. But now that we're keeping the main thing when it comes to winning, I think they're going to take it seriously when they head over to Columbia, Missouri, and then continue that mantra, and then, you know, it'll unwind into something beautiful. But I really appreciate Kalen DeBoer really just keeping it simple and not really going too deep in what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think just each week, ever since week one, we keep hearing that same kind of perspective about, you know, we're not satisfied, right? The ceiling can be much higher. We still have to go out and execute things. And that's the right approach. And I think that's kind of one of the differences that I've noticed from this staff compared to last year, right? They have no room for being complacent or feeling satisfied. And that starts from those coaches. And we'll hear a little bit later from Ryan Grubb, but the same thing with him. Just like I wrote in my notes after the game, red zone efficiency could be a little bit better there. He made it seem as if he wasn't pleased at all, right? And so just hearing, even Kane Womack, you hear him talk all, you know, time and time again, you know, they'll do good things, but then he always points out everything that they didn't do well. I think that's only going to help them improve and maintain the positive things that they're building on, right? And I think that's important, right? It keeps them grounded and it keeps them in that mode that they're not satisfied yet. They still have room to grow and to improve, which and there are things that definitely can be cleaned up, right? And I think we'll continue to see them do those things as they progress, because it'll be important, because as you keep going through this gauntlet, right, not only do you have to continue doing the things or do the things that you need to do better, right, better, but then you got to continue to do the things that you've been building on the way you've improved on, if that makes any sense. I know that was a word scramble, but I think you guys catch my drip. In terms of taking a quick little preview at Missouri, right, again, after watching these guys, looking at their offense first, again, they operate a lot of the, you know, zone running scheme. They do a lot of wide zone, which basically they're trying to get you sideways, right? And as a front, you got to do a good job of kind of trying to get vertical, right, getting knocked back on those guys. But you have to be smart with it, because really they want to hit the edge. Like, you have to set the edge. First and foremost, you have to set a solid edge when you're playing against these wide zone teams, right, because technically that's where they're initially trying to hit. However, the good backs are coached up to hit those lanes that open up, because when they get everybody going sideways, and when you got some guys, if you just run sideways with the offensive line, there will be some lanes that naturally open up, because then the linebackers also are flowing sideline to sideline. And if you over pursue and you create those gaps, that's exactly what you're left with, a nice hole that these running backs are looking for. They'll feel it and they'll cut up in there, and they're out of there. And so you gotta be really smart when you're playing these zone teams like this. And when you have a stable running backs like Missouri does, I mean, Ahmad Hardy, again, in my opinion, one of the top running backs in the country, just the way he plays the game. I mean, he runs hard, he's physical, he keeps his wheels going, you know, even after contact. I'd be curious the stat on that, his yards, you know, after first contact, because you see guys bouncing off of him, look like somebody's going to make the tackle, but he just keeps on running. And I mean, he's a really good football player. He leads the conference right now in rushing yards with, I think, 730. He's averaging 7 yards a carry and 146 a game, right? And that's not even including the other guys that they also have back there as well. 20, which I just had his name pulled up on their depth chart. What was his name again? Jamal Roberts. He's a good player as well, similar to Ahmad Hardy, in my opinion. But anyway, those backs do a really nice job in that zone scheme that they like to run. So it's going to be important, man. We got a good challenge on our hands. But I will say one thing that they've shown on tape is that they will put the ball on the ground, right? They will turn the ball over. I counted at least 3, if not 4, fumbles on the ground by their – well, one was by the quarterback. He was scrambling and got the ball knocked off of it. Then the other came from the running backs. So they have issues with ball security. So while they run the football extremely well, they have shown that they will put the ball on the ground. The good news is we're a ball hawking team that looks to force turnovers. So I do think that could end up coming into play in this football game. I do believe we need to attack the football because, again, there was one, I forgot which game I just was watching. There was one where they had at least 2, maybe 3 turnovers in that game alone. The quarterback has thrown a couple of picks as well. And one, I think, came against UMass. I just was watching that. But anyway, they turn the football over offense. So they do a lot of good stuff, but they also will turn the football over. So I think that needs to be a point of emphasis. Then talking about these guys and how hard they run, man, obviously tackling is going to be huge. I just talked about what you need to do up front is, you know, have proper, you know, I guess, gap fundamentals against this. But then you got to finish, right? Next step is you got to go out there and make tackles. So tackles going to be important because these guys break a lot of tackles. It's not necessarily making guys miss. I mean, they're running through tackles. They run hard. So we got to come ready to play. You got to come physical. Can't show up like we did against Florida State because they will gash us. That is a recipe for a long day defensive, which I don't believe that will be the case. But just know that their backs, man, they do a really good job. And then on the other side of the football, I think like we were discussing, might have been during the timeout. I think they're a solid unit. I know conference-wise, they come in at, let me see what it was. Is it total defense? One of them, they rank like number 1, I believe, right? Or maybe not. No, number 2 in total defense in the conference. The rushing defense is number 1. That's what it was. Passing defense is number 3. That all looks great, but I'll be honest. After going and actually watching the tape, like their play on tape doesn't necessarily match up with what I'm seeing statistically. And really, I mean, like, again, I think they're a good group, a solid group, very similar to how going into this game, Vanderbilt's defense had all these, you know, statistics and they looked great. But then when you watch them, right, like I think Vanderbilt was one of the top teams against with their rushing defense, right? Then you watch the way we were physical up front. We executed extremely well. The numbers will lie. And after watching the tape, this Missouri defense, they're a sound unit and a solid unit, but I wouldn't say their play matches up necessarily where they rank statistically. They do have some good players though on tape, and they've made plays. They get after it. They've shown to be aggressive as well. But through and through, I'll be honest, I think it's more so about what we do, right? I think we go out there, our offensive line can execute, can play physical, get good push up front like they did against Vanderbilt, right? Climbing with perfect timing, all that stuff like I discussed earlier. I'm not too worried about what the numbers say or even what I'm really seeing on tape. But I think it's really going to boil down to what we do. So I'll keep deep diving a little bit more as we go along. But I just want to give you a quick little preview because I was fresh on my mind watching some of those highlights. But again, this is Talking Tuesday, 205-342-9904. Now we got Ellis on the phone lines. Other than that, we're open. So if you guys want to hop on here, let us know. Plus, we will get to some of these other interviews again. Kane Womack and Ryan Grubb spoke to the media. I at least want to hear from them a little bit because there's a couple of things that I know was said that I want to break down. So we'll do that on the other side of this timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to Brooks Austin. We'll break down college football. We'll look ahead to the Missouri Tigers on a Southern Ale House score prediction day, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon. The chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 85, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow, very similar weather. Partly sunny, a shower in a few spots during the day. The high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we just we heard from Kalen DeBoer, right? I gave a quick little snippet of what I've been seeing from Missouri. Again, I've watched three games now: South Carolina, UMass, and Kansas, and just gave you guys kind of my initial thoughts. And again, as the week progresses, we're going to be a little more patient this week because I don't want to start having to rinse and repeat everything, but. We'll continue in hour number two. I'll bring some other notes up, but again, just some early thoughts on Missouri. But throughout the week, we'll get deeper and deeper with the breakdown. Plus, I'll start throwing some stuff on tape. Maybe even we'll do a little bit of that today, just kind of previewing some of the players at least, and kind of some of the plays that have stood out to me, right? That kind of lead me to my thoughts on this game. That being said, I'm going to hit a couple of our questions here real quick before we go to the phone lines. Let's see. QD says, Christian, I noticed less mugging from the inside backers on Saturday. That may be one of the reasons Jefferson had his best game of the season. Did you notice that? Number one, yes, I definitely noticed that. And then you guys have heard me. I've been very vocal about sometimes just I think we try to get too cute. We're trying to do too much. I've expressed that I'm not a fan of double mugs on early downs. I feel like it's wasted movement. I get the whole – to me, the only positive you really – maybe drawn from that. And again, I'm not a coordinator. And I know I played the game a long time. I pride myself in my football knowledge, but I'm not saying, look, if they're doing it, obviously they feel like there's a rhyme and reason for it. But these are just my thoughts. I feel like the only positive is there's a chance that you're throwing off blocking schemes. Because technically, yes, they have to honor that. If you have guys mugged up in the A-gaps, I mean, like technically they could shoot. So they have to respect that as an offensive line unit. So maybe it does kind of alter blocking schemes or at least just throw them off a little bit. But I just didn't like, you know, you start mugged up. I hardly have ever seen them actually penetrate from that spot. And their first step is back. I didn't like that because their first step is back, and then the offensive line, you know, they're coming at you, or the play's developing, and you're going back. And then when you do have to force the issue, then you go address it. You're like a step behind. And then if it's a perimeter play, your first step is back. Then you're trying to diagnose. So that, like, to me, I just had too much wasted movement. And to me, I felt like it was putting us a step behind with some stuff versus, like you mentioned, and hell, maybe Coach Womack, hey, I know the folks in the building listen to the show. A lot of people listen to the show. And maybe they were saying, all right, maybe we'll take Christian's advice. No, that's not what happened. But I do agree they didn't mug as much. It could also have been because they were showing some different looks. They were playing a 4-3 at times. And I think part of that was because they did have some injuries. Obviously, Quay Russo being out, Jermaine Latham being out. They adjusted and then they showed some different looks on defense. And I think that also was part of it too, which I thought that was smart. And that was, they were in that 4-3 when they had that interception by Keon Tapp. So, I think just really, man, you go by the game plan, you go by what you're seeing by the team you're facing that week. But that stuff, to me, I think a little bit less of that and just let guys play, man. Because I thought Justin Jefferson was able just to fly around, play sideline to sideline a whole hell of a lot better without having to worry about some of those looks and things that they've been asked to do. And again, for anybody that, for the whole 425 crowd, I know we got the riot 425 crowd, always got to go. Again, just another point that we've been saying on this show. It's never been just, oh, they only do this. They can get in multiple, it's a multiple defense. They can do a lot of different stuff. Now, I will say last year, they weren't as flexible as I feel like they've been this year. Like, I feel like, yes, they showed different looks last year, like I said they could, but they didn't do it at the same rate that they've been doing at this year. Now, I think what they're doing right now has been pretty effective, just switching up some different things and showing some different looks. Let's see. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up first. Ellis, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
Man, it's going great, brother. How are you?
I've got my voice back.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, I'm one of them. You know, the coach always says, you know, we need the fans to bring it. Well, the fans brung it Saturday. I mean,
yeah,
it was one of those games where it hurt your ears. I mean, it was that loud.
That's what I heard, man.
And nobody left. You know, I didn't see them stands were still full after the ball game. So,
I would hope so. I mean, it was still a pretty close game. I mean, I would say, I mean, obviously we had the dagger at the end, but without that,
yeah, I love that, the dagger.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that bet really enjoyed that too, because I mean, the spread was like what, like 10.5 or something like that, and we were up. Whatever it was, but that touchdown had us covered. Hey, I'm getting better with the betting stuff and the terminology, man. I'm getting better.
I like Cohen Board going for fourth down like we do. Talking about the team Saturday, when the game started, it's like we come out playing stale on both sides of the ball. And then as the game went on, the offense got better. And then the second half, the defense, it was like a total different defense. I think it was the best game that they played this year yet.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely was. Well, yeah, let me think. It depends. It depends. I mean, you're playing a quality opponent for sure. I would say this. For those three quarters or some, you know, it's a good football. I mean, yeah, I don't know. But it definitely was a really good game.
Yeah. Did you see the hit that Jefferson and he hit him? He hit the Vanderbilt quarterback first, and then number 94 finished him off.
Oh, yeah. Idrick Hill. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was
they
gave him a shot right there for sure.
I love
that. Ellis, you gotta make them pay, man. Those quarterbacks that like to run the football like that, man. You gotta let them go. If you're gonna be in that running game, you're gonna get hit.
And he got hit several times. But I was very pleased you know, if we can just keep that momentum going forward, you know, and hopefully it will. But it was fun times. I walked nearly 11,000 steps while I was down there.
Dang, there you go, getting exercise and enjoying a game, man.
Yeah, and it was whoever that called in yesterday. I was on my way back from Alabama. That was at the ball game that called in your show, said it was hot. Was it?
206, I believe.
Yeah, it was hot. Yeah, it was hot in them stands, most definitely. And I got to shake hands with Greg Byrne.
Dang, good for you, man. That's nice.
Yeah. He's a, you know, I don't believe there's any other athletic director that stands out in the crowd and meets the fan and talks to him.
Yeah, I feel like he does a good job with kind of connecting with folks like that. And I remember one time he spoke to, when I was in school here, he spoke to one of my classes and talked about that, like going out your way to really making people feel seen and heard and just being a good person overall. I think he's basically saying like the importance of that. So, hey, that makes sense, man. I definitely, I believe you. Ellis, we got to hit this top of the hour break, man. Glad you made it back safe. Glad you had a great trip down here.
Yes, sir. I'll be back for the garbage truck convention here coming up.
Safe travels. Man, you got plenty of time to them, but safe travels. And Ellis, we'll talk soon, brother. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. Top of the hour is here. It means we got to hit a break. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC, and live on our YouTube channel at The Miller's Edge. Come check us out. Be right back.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 813. That's 813. The code again is 813.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers lead 2-0 in their best-of-5 NL Division Series after winning at Philadelphia again 4-3. L.A. scored 4 times in the 7th inning. The Phillies got 1 run in the 8th, 2 in the bottom of the 9th, but fell just short. The save to Roky Sasaki, who got the final out. Blake Treinen of L.A. had allowed 3 straight hits to start the bottom of the 9th. The Dodgers have now won 9 games in a row. Their last loss was 2 weeks ago. Top seed Milwaukee up 2-0 after beating the Cubs again 7-3. The Brewers hit 3 home runs after allowing a 3-run shot in the top of the 1st. What a Monday night football game at Jacksonville. The Jags beat Kansas City on a touchdown with under 30 seconds left, 31-28. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence with 2 TD runs, including the game winner. He had 1 touchdown pass, 1 interception, 1 fumble at the goal line, but the Jaguars are 4-1. The Chiefs committed 13 penalties.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction.
Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, doing a little bit of an early preview on the Missouri Tigers, who Alabama will face this weekend. Coming off of a bye week, those guys have had ample time to prepare, so it's going to be an interesting one. Again, the Tigers have not lost a game yet, and they will welcome in Alabama for an 11 o'clock Central Time kick in Columbia, Missouri. So again, we are just a little bit of an early preview, just kind of looking at some of the personnel, some of the things that they've shown on tape. And again, we'll obviously get deeper and deeper in our breakdown as the week goes on. Let's hit a couple more questions from the chat, see what else we have here before we go back to the phone lines, which you will hear in a second. Just want to catch up on some of the chat. Let's see, which we do have a Missouri guy in here. He's very, very vocal. So let me see what else we got. Let's see. I feel like everybody's kind of going back and forth with this dude. All right. Well, I guess I'll let you guys handle. Everybody's having fun with the Missouri guy right now. So I guess maybe I just want to make sure I didn't miss any questions here. Hunter says, I like that look on defense where Womack had all three of our linebackers on the field at once. Kind of hit on that, but again, just a little refreshers. Yeah, so that was at 4-3 that we ended up playing. And basically, you just replace the Husky, which is a nickel corner, with Justin Jefferson, and then you slide Nakai Hill Green in there at inside backer next to Deontay Lawson. And I thought it was smart, right? I mean, you're down a number of guys in terms of the Wolf, the outside linebacker spots are going to that 3-4, which we still showed that. But obviously, you're relying on a true freshman in there on the other side opposite of Yonte Pierre. So they probably were just saying, hey, how can we get some more of our experienced guys on the field? And they ended up showing some more 4-3 looks, which I thought I mean, they made some plays while they were in that defense. Plus, another guy, and you got to give him his flowers, man, Kelby Collins. I don't know if you guys really peeped it, but he was they did basically what I thought they would do, right? Slide some bandits either over or just run some stuff where they could get more of those guys on the field to kind of recoup for not having that depth at Wolf. And so we saw some reps with Jordan Renaud out there, but we definitely saw a lot of reps with Kelby Collins out there. And I thought he played great. He did a really nice job with the opportunities that he got. And I remember he hadn't really got too many up to this point. And he made the most of his opportunities. So I would imagine they probably utilize him a little bit more moving forward. But again, Florida transfer has played in the SEC, so he's got experience. But if I'm just being completely honest with you, through camp, he didn't have the best camp, if I'm being completely honest with you. He just didn't. And I think that was part of the reason you didn't really see him too much early on. But looks like he's finally getting his foot in and figuring some stuff out now, which is good. And yes, Hunter also mentioned London Simmons. He's been playing some really good football. He's really impressive. He looked good against Vanderbilt as well. So definitely feel good with what we've got right now. I was a little concerned knowing all the guys that we have out, but the depth has really shown up, right? Between Kelby Collins, London Simmons, you know, filling in there. I'm trying to think of who else has really been. Edric Hill. Those guys have really shown up and done some really good stuff. So You got to feel good about where we're at now. Then obviously, whenever you do get Quay Russo back, that'll be big. Jeremiah Beeman's out and Latham are out. But I think having Quay Russo back at some point, which probably sounds like it's going to be down the line, would be big. But in the meantime, you just got to keep relying on what we got. Next man up mentality. And they've been doing, excuse me, a good job with that. We'll hit one more real quick before go to the phone lines. Mike says, Christian, how does the secondary look? How does their secondary look? Does it look like they can hang with our wide receivers? No, I don't think they really can hang with our receivers like that. I mean, they look decent, but nothing from what I've seen from the three games I've watched screams like they're going to be the group to really be the answer for our wide receiver group, if that makes sense. I mean, they've got good players. They've shown some good stuff on tape, but nothing about it makes me believe that they're going to be the group to say, oh, man, they're going to just shut down this passing offense that we have and our receiver group, right? I just don't see that. And I'll be honest with you, the way we're playing, the way, I mean, literally our receiver room is 4 or 5 deep. I mean, like, it's just even like Latier Brooks and Rico Scott. I mean, those dudes would be top guys on a lot of other teams. And so when you're talking about your 5 receivers that all their problems – I mean, I was thinking about this because I'm like, man, people are playing a lot of cover two. Obviously, that hadn't been a good answer. You see people play quarters, which that's, you know, four deep coverage, right? It's they try to play that to take, you know, take the deep shots away because you do have that threat. You know, Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, Isaiah Horton, all their deep threats. But then you end up really soft underneath. And then Grubb and Ty do a nice job of just hitting – you know, some quick dump offs or shallow routes, and then just letting those guys make plays on the football. Because think about it, who are the underneath guys? Most of the time, they're linebackers. You know what I'm saying? So you're asking those guys to make open field tackles on Ryan Williams and these receivers. That's why you saw against Vanderbilt, we kept having a lot of chunk plays because when they would get in that quarters coverage, we were just taking, you know, the more shallow routes and then letting our guys, you know, make plays after the catch. So I'll be honest with you. I mean, like, we shred zone defenses really well because, number one, Ty can throw the ball extremely accurate, and he can fit it in the window. So when they are in those cover two looks, he can nail those whole shots, right? He's not afraid to throw in the middle of the middle of the field where you do have to squeeze it over those windows behind, you know, over the head of a linebacker. I mean, he's so accurate that we can shred those zones. And if you try to play man, again, I don't know what secondary is just going to have guys where he's like, all right, we want to run a bunch of man coverage. I mean, if I was a coordinator, I wouldn't try to do that. I mean, and you talk, all right, try to bracket Ryan or try to bracket Jeremy, but then you're leaving opportunities and leaving guys on islands for Latier Brooks, who definitely will cook somebody, Rico and Isaiah Horton. So I'll be honest with you, man, like, I think you definitely do take a zone approach, but you just have to be like near flawless, like with your drops, with your reroutes. I think that's another problem. A lot of people aren't getting good reroutes. Like, I think you just have to be so fundamentally sound as a secondary unit to try to really stop our guys. But I'll be honest with you, that's the second part. The true first part is, like me and my dad have always said, is pass rush. Your only hope really about stopping our wide receiver room is to generate pass rush. That's the answer. If you're a defensive coordinator and you're trying to scheme against Alabama in this wide receiver room, the only hope you have is to generate pass rush, which initially a lot of people thought that was going to be the case because Alabama had still struggled a little bit in pass pro, at least earlier on. But they've been much more sound in pass pro, especially with Jam Miller coming back and, you know, his ability to help protect. And we've seen the tight end staying in and chipping guys to also help out. I'll be honest with you. I mean, that's really the only answer. And people haven't had too much success. I know Vanderbilt, they had 4 sacks, but if you look at it, I mean, one was a good play, and then the guy completely blew by Wilkin Formby. Another one, Ty, that we ran that boot again. Ty held it too long, trying to make something out of nothing, and ended up taking a sack. I'm trying to think of the other two. Can't remember off the top of my head. But anyways, what I'm getting at is, even in that game, if you go watch, I mean, that's why I say numbers lie a lot. I mean, like, yes, we took 4 sacks, but it's not like Vanderbilt was like disrupt in Ty or his timing. But you did see when they did, it did affect his throw. There was that one where we were marching down. We weren't quite in the red zone area. But you had, I think, Horton to the left side of the field. They ran a stunt with their backer. He ended up doing a move on, you know, like a, you know, up and under move on our right guard. I think it was Vandermark. He ends up penetrating, getting a hit on Ty. Ty ends up sailing the ball over. If you pull up the stats, I mean, obviously, when Ty has a clean pocket, I mean, he's the most accurate quarterback in the country. When he faces pressure, those numbers definitely drop. So, that said, I don't think Missouri's pass rush is anything crazy either. So, I think they're probably in for a long day, you know, trying to defend our passing attack as well. So, we'll see if we finally face somebody who has it. But I'm telling you, man, if you want to stop Alabama's receivers and our passing attack, you better get after the quarterback and you better hit home. Georgia even tried to bring pressure. We picked up pressure. So I don't know, man. I mean, we'll see. Oklahoma's defense had a lot of – they think they had like 9 sacks when they played. Who was Auburn? We'll see when we get to that game what they can do and if they can affect Ty. But I'll be honest with you, bro. Good luck. It's definitely a challenge. All right, let's hit a timeout. When we come back. We're going to the phone lines. I know we've got Ram, we've got Arnon, we got Smitty. So we'll go to you guys when we come back. Have this quick timeout and continue on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Generators, True South Generators, 205-609-2642.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon. The chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today, 85. Tonight's low, 68. Tomorrow, very similar weather. Partly sunny, a shower in a few spots during the day. The high, 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arc Support Experts. All right, so we're going to go back to the phone lines. I'll try to pull up some of these clips. And while I promise I'm listening to our callers, but I know we had some questions about some things. I want to just put some clips on the screen on our stream. So I will do that. And I might not be breaking them down, but I think you can kind of see my mouse kind of hover around. So I'll try to do that as good as I can. That being said, let's go back to the phone lines. We got Arnon up next. Arnon, welcome in. Arnon, you there? Going once, twice. Chase, is he still on the line? He might not be there.
I think he had dropped by accident.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, that's what I wanted to, I know he had called at the end last, yesterday. But all right, let's go back to the phones. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how's it going?
Good, bro. What's up, Smitty?
Man, just driving, man. One thing I noticed about the game, and that was a play. I said it was about play of the game. You remember when Diego Pop just tried a throwback screen, but Yanze Pierre was right there, and he had it dirty?
Yeah.
And what if he didn't have eye discipline? Where would that play have gone? And it's just cool to see the young guys having an eye discipline, but I think one thing that I like about this team so far, the staff, the old saying is the best defense is less defense. So they're doing a good job with ball control because you see down so many guys on a defensive front. What's the point of keep throwing them back out there? You get what I'm saying? Yeah, you may score quick, but you're putting them back out there. And I think if they've done a good job of protecting this defense, if I don't know if you've seen that. You probably, what'd you think of that?
You say it one more time. Of who protecting this defense? I'm sorry, I missed that last part.
I meant the coaching staff knowing that, hey, we're down so many bodies. let's just play a little ball control because the best defense is less defense right now.
Wait, so you're talking about the offense? You're saying them kind of just offense. Trying to sustain drives? Oh, I got you. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You're saying the time of possession, us trying to just have those drives. I'm sorry. I think that, I mean, that's ideal if you are ever in a situation where you're a little concerned about your defense. And I'll be completely honest, I'm not saying they were concerned with our defense against Vanderbilt, but I think they knew that there were going to be some challenges that they could pose. And so they're, I think the reason we were so adamant on establishing our running game was for that. I mean, I mentioned that going into the game. I think Coach Saban said it on, what was it, game day or whatever it's called, a college game day. But the same thing, like establishing that running game, that way you do have, you know, you're not just keeping your defense out there knowing that there could be some things that cause them some strains. Because I even thought that, I'm not going to lie, I was really impressed with the way we handled Pavia and that offense, given that we were out those Wolves, right, knowing how important that position was. But the fact that those guys that filled in, they did a hell of a job. But no, I think that was smart in terms of our game plan, and then really just nice job executing. Just, I mean, I got it pulled up now, just seeing the difference in, you know, our running game and the execution up front, having Jam hitting those holes, man. I mean, that's why I talked about having that running game being so important. So when you are in situations where you do want to control that tempo more, you can do that. You're not trying to just be, you know, find extensions of the running game. You're actually able just to line up, run the football, control the tempo, control the tempo of the game.
Yes, and when it comes to offensive line, I know it may be early, but it looks like the switch has flipped on Kane Proctor. The light has come on. And let me ask you, is Wilkin Thornby, does he seem like he might be a better guard than right tackle from what you see?
Yes, yeah, I think it's interesting, man. I mean, I think he might – the reason guard is easier is because you're covered up, right? I mean, you've got a center to your left and you got a tackle to your right. You're not put on an island. He did, however, have that one play where, I mean, they blew past him when he was at right guard. But I think he probably feels more comfortable at guard because of that, having, you know, that support. But I will say this, though. I think as Michael Carroll, just like I said when he first kind of got those opportunities, Michael Carroll just has to grow up, right? Meaning, like, he's a freshman. He just has to get his feet wet. But he clearly is, he's the best right tackle that we've got that we can put out there. He's just young. But he's been really impressive to me. But even, I mean, hell, I'll be honest with you. I think there's a number of guys that have shown up and impressed. Even like Will Sanders, bro. I wasn't even expecting him to have such an impact. But he's doing some good stuff when he's getting opportunities. So, I mean, maybe you see a guy like that. I mean, Vandermark, I feel like, is a little bit of a liability at times. They mentioned Jaden Roberts coming back. Obviously, he hadn't been exactly where they probably wanted him to be to put him back in there. But we'll see when he comes back how he's looking. I mean, I know sometimes it just takes time to kind of find your footing after being out. But yeah, to answer your question, I think Wilkin definitely looks a little bit better at guard than tackle. But it's not a perfect thing, but it might be a little bit better of a fit than him at tackle. But I agree with you on Proctor. Proctor's playing much better right now, much better football, and I hope he continues that trajectory, because we need that at left tackle. He's playing how we thought he should be playing.
Yeah, and I'll say this before I run. Remember before the season that we talked to you and I said, I don't know about Penn State, because if you're 6'5", 240 with a rocket arm and a three-year starter, you don't make it to your fifth year, because that means your cheeks dead Clemson. That, hey, they got the playoff due to a rule. And then we also talk about the hot take media just totally forgetting the fact that Texas is starting 4 out of 5 new offensive linemen this year. You know, that's a problem. And it just shows that these people don't do their homework. They just look at, oh, well, who's coming back to school, and just thinking things. Yes, the NIL is great, but, you know, and 4 out of 5 new offensive linemen, that is a challenge. And then when your quarterback is not as advertised, because we said, let this boy play first. And then tied into that, it shows that, hey, there's some challenges there. And last year is last year. And with all these teams, this year is not last year. And I think people got to start looking at that, because these teams are different.
Yeah. No, they are. Texas is definitely, I don't know, man. They're interesting right now. I mean, I know they got Oklahoma, and we'll see how that goes. If Mateer was playing, I would say, man, Texas is about to be a three-loss team already. And I'm kind of on the fence. I was on M3 podcast yesterday with Josh and Mac, and I ended up taking Oklahoma just to kind of switch it up a little bit from the picks. But yeah, no, you're right. I think that's why it's important just to let things play out. And that's why we talked about, you know, a lot of question marks about Ty just because he hadn't played yet. And I get it. I get it. You know, he didn't really have the receipts, like my dad likes to say. But just knowing, you know, his skill set and what I've seen out of him in practice, I was like, man, he just needs those reps. And I think he's really going to be solid. And he's doing just that. But you're right, man. It's a lot of people go off of what they saw last year. You just don't know. And it is harder nowadays, too. I'll be honest, though, because when you have so much newness, guys coming from portals, mm-hmm. before you could be like, okay, they've had this guy, he's been developing, they brought this guy, and we've seen him get a couple snaps here. As an analyst, it's a little bit more difficult when you're looking at a team like Florida State, and they bring in like a whole new offense. You're like, well, damn, I think they can be better. They should be better, but they haven't. No one's played together, so yeah, it's a little tough nowadays. But you're right, though. I got to give you your props. You called a lot of that, though.
Yeah, in Florida State, we were kind of canary in the coal mine. No one had tape on them. And sometimes, a lot of times with your schedules, it's about when you play people. Because, like, Alabama will play so many ranked teams in a row. Conversely, this weekend, Illinois is the first ranked team Ohio State's going to play since Texas. So, a lot of times, it's like the NFL. You got to have your scheduling luck sometimes. And just because Alabama may drop a game or two with that schedule doesn't mean they're not better. But you get what I'm saying. But, hey, Christian, thanks for the good work again. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely, man. I appreciate you, Smitty. Be easy, brother. Yes, sir. Good deal. All right, let's stay on schedule. Let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We got Ram. And we've got Cedric that we'll get to on the phone lines, and we'll keep breaking some stuff down. Right now we're doing a little bit of a look in the mirror, looking at some of these good plays from Alabama against Vanderbilt and how we need that to carry over. And we'll do that during these timeouts. So, again, if you guys want to jump on our stream at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, you can watch us do that right there. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to the zoo to battle the Missouri Tigers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Alabama football
is presented by
Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi.
DCH Regional Medical Center.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Two dimes.
Taco Casa.
Mercedes. Your inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. My bad, Chase. I just realized that, damn, we've been back that long, like a couple minutes. Has it been that long, Chase?
Not necessarily. You're fine, man. You're all good.
My bad. I literally was looking and I did not see the thing. I was like, dang, this is a long break. I apologize, guys. So I don't know if you guys are listening. Just answer the last few questions. If so, cool. If not, I apologize. You just got to listen to some cool music for a minute. Sorry about that. Let's see. I did not realize we were back. Let's jump back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got Ram up next. Ram, welcome in.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Ram?
Dogs got out of the fence and you were chasing them.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it's good talking to you, and I wanted to mention that I enjoy your post game show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I really do. Christian, I'm going to say one thing about the Vandy game. In the fourth quarter, we were fourth and short. And I don't know. I think that somebody probably can correct me. Chase probably knows. But I think there were 7 or 8 minutes left, and we had a fourth down short, and Ty got up under center, and Vandy, you know, stacked, and Ty slid to the left. I thought that was a good call. And it looked like it, I don't know, it picked up 3 or 4 yards on that. It reminded me, you know, I'm 77. We ran a single wing, and that reminded me of an old single wing call. But that was a big play, I think. That kept us going.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of which play you're referencing right here, Ram. You said it was fourth and one?
Fourth and a yard and a half or something, and Ty came up under center.
Mm-hmm.
And we came up quick, and we were probably on that. Just barely on their side of the field.
And what was the play that we ran? I'm just trying to think back exactly.
Ty slid out to the left. Instead of going over center, he slid out to the left. Right around, I don't know if anybody pulled or not. They probably just turned. But he made the first down.
Okay, yeah.
And I think
for some reason, I don't remember. I'm trying to think back, but I'm like, I don't remember that play. I'm trying to see if I can pull it up. But anyway, but yeah, no, I mean, if you got the conversion, I absolutely, definitely a big part, especially around that moment in the game you're talking about later. Because that probably was that the drive that we ended up punching it in at the end, or was that before that? Ram, you with us?
Yeah, I'm hearing myself talk to you.
Oh, I'm not too sure. That might. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure that might be on the radio end or something.
I'm not too sure, honestly.
Well, something's going on, Christian. I'll let you go.
Okay. Yeah. If you got a question you want to ask, feel free.
Okay. The question I wanted to ask you, I want you to give your assessment of the Edge guys.
Missouri's Edge guys.
Yeah.
All right, good deal. If you want to hang up, since there's a little bit of an echo.
Yeah, I will. I'll hang up and listen. All right.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, I'm not sure why. I think that might have been his phone, man, because there's no echo on our end. But anyway, they're Edge guys. Again, man, just from my early just watching them, that's why I always say early preview, because I haven't, like, watched, though. I just watched 3 games from, like, the YouTube copy. Online, and I mean they seem to be decent players. I don't know any of their stats. I haven't got that far, but even just off the limited number of plays that I've seen, I mean, mean, they do a good job rushing off the edge. I mean, I see them use a lot of power moves, kind of just bullying the quarterback. They do a nice job collapsing the quarterback. Let me see if I can pull them up. But to answer your question, Ram, I don't have too much to really go off of right now just because what I've seen, I'm being honest with you, man, a lot of the YouTube copies I watch is mostly filled with a lot of offensive plays, and, you know, they're really just kind of like extended highlights. But I hadn't really seen, I guess, too much of them, but I'll add that to the list. I know somebody asked about their wide receivers, and they asked about their edge guys. I do know one guy that kind of flashed to me was number 7. It's their defensive tackle, and his name is Chris McClellan. He's a big guy, but he's a D tackle. He's not an edge guy, but he's 6'4", 320. That's what he's listed at. But like I said, he just kind of flashed just because for him being a big guy, he looked to be pretty athletic, was disruptive, showed a little bit of pass rush ability for being an interior guy. But I hadn't really locked in on their edge guys. But I will, though. I'll pull that. I'll add that to the list. Let's keep on rolling, and I'll try to get back with you on that answer. We got Cedric up next. Cedric, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
There he is. What's up, my guy?
Hey, everything good, man. It's a good day in the neighborhood. Alabama is on top. Why not?
That's right.
It's good.
That's right.
But, you know, I'm looking at my fellow fan base. You know, we spend the week complaining, you know.
So what are we complaining about now?
I don't know. They complain about everything, man. I don't know. I don't have no complaints this week, bro. I don't have any complaints, but I've just been seeing a lot of it. But, I'm moving past that. Yeah, man, the guys look good. I mean, Ty throwing dots, man. You hear me?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's throwing dots. And if you don't catch that ball, he's hitting you in the center of the chest. I don't know wherever you're going to catch it at. So we're not having a problem with that, catching it. But I'm just saying, he's throwing dots, guy. You know, he's doing a good job. I mean, I guess he waited on his time, and his time is now, you know?
That's true. You think he ends up in New York at the end of the year?
That's a good possibility. It's a good possibility. A strong possibility. Strong possibility. You know, because I don't see anybody else especially in the conference, you know, that look better than him. Stockton don't do nothing for me, you know, as far as, you know, nationally. And, you know, who else is on this level right now? Anywhere, you know, you maybe can say Beck, you know, if you want to, you know,
Beck, he's doing a good job. Oregon's quarterback's having a good year,
right?
Like
him, yeah. I haven't seen him much this year, you know. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him much this year, but you know, shout out to Proctor too, man. You know, look, man, he's another refrigerator pair in the backfield. What are we doing?
I don't know, but I mean, he's making the most of his opportunity. He said, they're going to call my number. I'm going to make the most of it.
Hey, I tell you what, I looked at that field level camera. Man, you do not want to see that coming at you. What are you going to tackle him at?
You better chop him like a tree. That's about the only chance you got.
Hey, you still going to feel that. You still going to feel that, man. That guy. Lower leg is bigger than my waist, man.
So, that's true.
Yeah, but he's doing a good job this year. It took him a while to come on, but hey, that's why he's still in the program, you know. And shout out to all the guys that's in the program, you know, that seizing their opportunities, I would say. You know, why not, you know? You know, look at my guys on the defensive line. Your dad said, I didn't know his name, 94, Mr. Hill. What is that, Edric? Hill?
Edric Hill?
Edric. He's still doing a good job. He's playing big every weekend. Number 9, I hadn't got his name down yet, but he's flashing every game.
London Simmons.
Yeah. He's flashing every game, and, making the most of his opportunities. And about defensive backs, you know, they kind of you know, dropping the ball a little bit, but you know, each game go on, hopefully they learn, you know, what they need to do. But I don't put some of that stuff on Damani that happened in the following game, probably in this game, but It might have been this past game that Womack took the ball for, you know, that he let the man go out the back on a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Damani did, and but I'm okay with them in pass, but they're a little bit, you know, slack in the run support. You know, they got to get down there. They got to get dirty. You know,
hopefully they'll
learn that in the coming weeks. You know, they'll clean it up. You know what I'm saying? But Upper, he's still back there, you know, doing the thing. You know, and very proud of him. And yeah, all the guys, man, they look good. They playing like, you know, we want them to play. You know, and we expect them to play. So if they play hard, you know, we'll deal with the outcome. We just play hard, you know. Play hard. Play like you want to be there.
Oh, 100%. I think ever since they started doing that, man, just coming up and, you know, playing with intensity and physicality, everything's already fallen into place. So you're right. You just got to keep doing that. Right. I think everything will work itself out.
Yeah, work itself out good. Who we probably see if we make it to the SEC Championship? Who we looking at? Probably Georgia again, you know? I don't think Tennessee gonna do nothing. They'll be contenders, but I don't think they really, you know, got that kind of team like that really this year.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you got Ole Miss and Texas A&M ranked ahead of us right now. Obviously, things start to play out. But yeah, I mean, you got Georgia. I mean, we'll see how Oklahoma looks. I just realized that Mateer is already expected to return potentially this week versus Texas. So with him back, I think they're definitely a contender as well. But Cedric, I'll tell you what, man. It's always good to hear from you, brother. Good stuff as always, man.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. Y'all too, man. Good job, and talk to you next time. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother. Roll Tide. All right, we got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We wrap things up right here on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. On the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Mike Dettillier, WWL, the big 870. We'll talk to Brooks Austin. We'll break down college football. We'll look ahead to the Missouri Tigers on a Southern Alehouse score prediction day, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Greens and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon. The chance of scattered showers through tonight. The high today 85, tonight's low 68. Tomorrow, very similar weather. Partly sunny, a shower in a few spots during the day. The high 82. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right. That's right. We still got one more call to get to. We got Pat on here. Real quick, let me answer a question or two. So let me see. Before we get to Pat, we got a question that says, who is responsible for those running back shovel passes against Vanderbilt? So typically, I always talk about it. You got to squeeze and close. But I'll be honest, the first one they ran, I wish I had this pulled up, but the first one they ran, it was tough because you had Yonze Pierre that was at the edge spot, and he did, you know, have that look to squeeze and close. But he was responsible for the quarterback. He's a quarterback player. So to be fair, I mean, you can't overdo it in a situation like that. But I had to go back and watch exactly to see how it played out. But I just know, I mean, the way they did, and the second one was tough because the back, it's like you fake the handoff. The back was going one way, then completely flipped back. I'd have to see it again real quick, which I know we got to get this phone call. So I'll watch it real quick while we talk to Pat, and then hopefully I can give you a quick answer before we get out of here. But let's go to Pat real quick. Pat, welcome in. You got like about a minute and a half.
Did you see how it looked like South Carolina is the only SEC quality team that they've played so far? Is that about right, what you've assessed?
Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree.
And South Carolina threw for 300 plus yards against Missouri, and Missouri ran for nearly 300 yards against South Carolina. So, sounds like a battle wash. We've got to really, really work on, and hopefully, Coach Womack's going to be able to pick up on just what he's done, slowing down Georgia's run and slowing down Pavia, because. Hey, they beat South Carolina pretty handedly. Vanderbilt did. Now, that doesn't mean anything, you know. But still, I'm thinking this is going to be a pretty good challenge for us. And we need as many Alabama folks to get in them Winnebagos and drive up there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. No, it'd be big, man. It's going to be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to it, man. Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, but
we got to run, man.
I feel like we're going to get them, though. Have a blessed one, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You too, Pat. I appreciate you, man. Sorry about that. We just keep running out of time, but I appreciate everybody wanting to jump on here with us, man. Thank you for all the support. Thank you for Chase Bonnet Glass, all our listeners, Tide 100.9 over on YouTube as well, and Facebook, Tide 100.9 as well. Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.